send out a prayer, a cry for help to heaven from here. Just let me send out a resting hope into despair for you. Let me send out a prayer for you.
Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. Again, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes, When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When do we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when do we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Again, verses 31 to 46, Matthew chapter 25. Lord, thank you for the wonderful, wonderful privilege of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving us and drawing us out of the world and into a new relationship with you and one another. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of the wonderful body of Christ. Lord, more and more open our eyes to see that your word is genuinely a guidebook to guide us as to how to live the life that you've called us to live as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Empower us to be an obedient people that are hearers and doers of your word. Help us to know, Lord, that it's a serious thing to be a part of the kingdom of God, a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, a part of the army of the Lord in the world, and that every day we're to be about our Father's business in carrying out the great work of the Great Commission, sharing the gospel and helping others to come to both know Christ and helping them to grow up in their faith so that they too will become faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to live so that daily we'll be about our Father's business every day faithfully as followers in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. And once again, I want to remind you that in just a few weeks, our spring share-a-thon will get underway. And we're still looking for more listener testimonies. Number of people have called in, but we're still looking for more, if you would. If you'd like to call in and share how the Lord has used Urban Family to bless you, to encourage you, to equip you to be a better and more faithful follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we'd appreciate hearing from you. If you've been inspired or touched through the ministries of Urban Family Talk, you can call this number and share a listener testimony, 1-877-327-5647. Again, that's 1-877-327-5647. And we'd appreciate hearing from you. And again, if you call in and we'll share your testimony on that line, it will be recorded. And you just might hear it during our spring share-a-thon coming up in just a few weeks. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession today. We're looking at the topic of heaven and hell and the Great Commission. Again, the topics of heaven and hell and the Great Commission. Now, keep in mind, you know, we live in a world where people live in such a way that often it seems they feel like they're going to live in this life forever. And we invest our time, our energy, our priorities, our efforts in this life. But, you know, the fact is this life is so, so short compared to eternity. In fact, our lifetime, whether we live to be 20 years old, 5 years old, 20 years old, or 95 years old, life is like a little dot compared to all eternity. How long is eternity? Well, as one person put it, they said eternity is 1,000 years with the ends knocked out. Eternity goes on and on and on, and it's forever and ever. And so if we're wise, we'll be living for heaven and living for the kingdom of God rather than living for this lifetime. Doesn't mean that you don't live a full life here, but we live it as a goal of seeking to glorify God in every area of our life and to serve God with our lives, because we're here for God's purposes. We're here for God, for His will and for His kingdom. We're not here to build our own kingdoms or to make our lives what we think they should be. We're here to live out God's will in our lives. We're not here to fulfill our dreams. We're here to fulfill God's dreams in our lives. So it's important that we understand this, that we're to be living for God in this lifetime and live with the goal of spending all eternity with the Lord in heaven. On our broadcast today, I want to share with you briefly from actually a couple different books by the same author. There's an author by the name of Mary Kay Baxter, who's had some unique experiences in her walk with the Lord. She's a minister of the gospel, and she has had some unique revelations that God has given to her. There was an occasion where many years ago, God gave her a vision where she was escorted by the Lord Jesus himself to two different places, specifically escorted by the Lord to hell and escorted to the Lord by the Lord to heaven as well. Now, of course, there are lots of folks out in the world who sometimes believers who scoff at that idea. But the reality is, if you see where God did it in the Word of God, if God chooses to do it a second or a third or a fourth time, again, that's God's business. And so the fact is, I think these kinds of visions are very real and are spoken of often in the Word of God. And so we're going to be sharing with you some from two of the books that she's written. One is the first book we'll be sharing from is entitled A Divine Revelation of Hell by Mary Kay Baxter. And then a little later, we'll be looking at the second book, A Divine Revelation of Heaven, again by Mary Kay Baxter. So as we start off, we're beginning with, of course, the first chapter. It's entitled Into Hell. Again, sharing from the book by Mary Kay Baxter entitled A Divine Revelation of Hell, as we look today at the topic of heaven and hell and the Great Commission. And I hope it'll stir you to want to be involved in the work of the sharing of the gospel and the work of making disciples every day, because time is running out. Jesus is coming back very, very soon, and we as God's people must be about our Father's business. So, chapter one of A Divine Revelation of Hell entitled Into Hell. In March 1976, while I was praying at home, I had a visit from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd been praying in the Spirit for days when all at once I felt the very presence of God. His power and His glory filled the house. A brilliant light illuminated the room where I was praying, and a sweet and wonderful feeling came over me. Lights flowed in billows, rolling and folding into one another and rolling over and out of each other. It was a spectacular sight. And then the voice of the Lord began to speak to me. He said, "I am Jesus Christ, your Lord, and I wish to give you a revelation to prepare the saints for my return and to turn many to righteousness. The powers of darkness are real, and my judgments are true. My child, I will take you into hell by my Spirit, and I will show you many things which I want the world to know. I will appear to you many times. I will take your spirit out of your body and will actually take you into hell. I want you to write a book and tell of the visions and all the things I reveal to you. You and I will walk through hell together. Make a record of these things which were and are to come. My words are true, faithful, and trustworthy. I am that I am, and there's none beside me." "Dear Lord," I cried out, "what do you want me to do?" My whole being wanted to cry out to Jesus to acknowledge His presence. The best I can describe it is to say, love came over me. It was the most beautiful, peaceful, joyful, powerful love I've ever felt. God's praises began to flow from me. All at once, I wanted to give Him my whole life to be used by Him to help save people from their sin. I knew by His Spirit that it actually was Jesus, the Son of God, who was there in the room with me. I cannot find words to express his divine presence, but I know that I know it was the Lord. Behold, my child, Jesus said, I'm going to take you by my spirit into hell so that you may be able to make a record of the reality of it, to tell the whole earth that hell is real, and to bring the lost out of darkness and into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Instantly, my soul was taken out of my body. I went up with Jesus out of my room and into the sky. I knew all that was going on about me. I saw my husband and children asleep in our home below. It was as though I had died and my body was left behind in the bed while my spirit was going with Jesus up through the top of the house. It seemed as though the whole roof was pulled back and I could see my family asleep in their beds. I felt the touch of Jesus as he said, "Fear not, they will be safe." He knew my thoughts. I will try to the best of my ability to tell you step by step what I saw and felt. Some of the things I did not understand. The Lord Jesus told me the meaning of most of them, but some things he did not tell me. I knew then, and I know now, that these things were really happening, and only God could have shown them to me. Praise his holy name. People believe me. Hell is real. I was taken there by the Spirit many times during the preparation of this report. Soon we were high into the heavens. I turned and looked at Jesus. He was full of glory and power, and such peace flowed from him. He took my hand and said, "I love you. Fear not, for I am with you." At that, we began to go even higher into the sky, and now I could see the earth below. Protruding out of the earth and scattered about in many places were funnels spinning around to a center point and then turning back again. These moved high above the earth and looked like a giant, dirty type of slinky that moved continuously. They were coming up from all over the earth. "What are these?" I asked the Lord Jesus as we came near to one. "These are the gateways to hell," he said. "We will go into hell through one of them." Immediately we entered one of the funnels. Inside it looked like a tunnel, spinning around, around, and back again like a top. A deep darkness descended on us, and with the darkness came a smell so horrible it took my breath away. Along the sides of this tunnel were living forms embedded in the walls. Dark gray in color, the forms moved and cried out to us as we passed. I knew without being told that they were evil. The forms could move but were still attached to the walls. A horrible smell came from them, and they screeched at us with the most awful cries. I felt an invisible evil force moving inside the tunnels. At times in the darkness, I could make out the forms. A dirty fog covered most of them. "Lord, what are these?" I asked as I held on tightly to Jesus' hand. He said, "These are evil spirits ready to be spewed out on the earth when Satan gives the orders." As we were going down inside the tunnel, the evil forms laughed and called out to us. They tried to touch us but could not because of the power of Jesus. The very air was polluted and dirty, and only the presence of Jesus kept me from screaming at the sheer horror. Oh, yes, I had all my senses. I could hear, smell, see, feel, and even taste the evil in this place. If anything, my senses had become more sensitive, and the odor and filth almost made me sick. Screams filled the air as we came near the base of the tunnel. Piercing cries came up from the dark tunnel to meet us. Sounds of all sorts filled the air. I could feel fear, death, and sin all around me. The worst odor I have ever smelled filled the air. It was the smell of decaying flesh, and it seemed to be coming from every direction. Never on earth had I felt such evil or heard such cries of despair. Soon I would find that these were the cries of the dead and that hell was filled with their wails. We're coming up on a break now. We'll pick up there. We're sharing from the book, A Divine Revelation of Hell by Mary K. Baxter. We'll be right back after this break.
"And I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land." My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Amy Lawson, a Wisconsin photographer, is going to court to preemptively stop the application of a Madison ordinance and state law that prohibit creative professionals from refusing commissioned work that is contrary to their religious or political beliefs. The laws also bar Amy from posting on her website that her religious or political views prohibit her from taking such work. So she's filed suit. This is not happening in Nazi Germany, Communist Russia, or Communist China. This is happening right here in America.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
What does it take to live an uncommon life? Here's former Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy with today's uncommon moment.
When I was coach of the Indianapolis Colts, we evaluated a lot of draft prospects coming out of college. Sometimes a player would have plenty of experience, talent, and skills, but in spite of it all, if DNDC stands for Do Not Draft Because of Character. No matter how great a prospect was, spending a draft pick on someone who lacked character could be a costly mistake that could disrupt the team, impacting its work ethic and stability. Reaching your goals is important, but the way you reach them matters more. God is interested in your success, but He's more interested in your character.
Tony Dungy, author of the popular Uncommon book series. Discover more at CoachDungy.com. That's CoachDungy.com.
Here's what you missed on Airing the Addisons.
We're going to pray for this lady, too. She is allergic to her own sweat and tears.
Really? Ooh, really? Oh, my goodness. That's torture.
Wow.
It causes her skin to become hypersensitive to emotional stress and exercise. So
really?
If she sweats, takes a shower, or cries, she breaks out into hives.
Why is that emotional stress? Why is that stressful for her?
So she got to be happy, musty, and move slow.
Musty and move. Man, that's funny right there. I don't care who you are. Man.
I'm done.
That's funny right there.
Oh, all right. Don't make her mad. All right. Leave her alone.
Tune in weekday mornings, 6 to 9 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Oh, this
man.
Dude right here has a master's in unintelligence.
Oh,
like, this is.
Dude, I know she's lonely.
Slow.
In the hip-hop culture, everybody believes in heaven. By and large, nobody goes to hell.
Biggie said, when I die, I want to go to hell. Because I'm a piece of mess and it ain't hard to tell. I don't want to go to heaven with the goodies, man. I want to go to hell with the dudes and black hoodies. For the money and the power, why would he? I don't know. Why I put him in the place and said that he ain't want to go. Ain't no promise for tomorrow, Lord have mercy on my soul. Yeah. Man, we sick of blowing smoke. Yeah. Man, we Christians, we ain't politicians. Yeah. So naturally, they got a problem with it. Yeah. Hate to be the bearer of the bad news. Yeah. But like I said, this ain't just my opinion. Yeah. Let's take the murder in the Beatles story. They shot John Lennon and died prematurely. Heavy heart up there for all his loved ones. They shot him dead before he reached his voice. He wrote a note, oh, it's Jesus for me. I just want to know if God is real. It's a quote and it's been reported. If he is, then I want out of hell. It's such a shame when it gets distorted. Yeah, we talking about Robert Bell. It's so unfortunate that he departed. I pray we never change if it's out of fear, yeah.
All these misconceptions headed in my direction. Looking for an answer, which way do I go? All my imperfections. Can we find an answer?
Can we find an answer?
Yeah. Which way do I go?
Man, they got us running scared. Gotta talk around it in the soul fair. I thought America was land out of free. Can't talk about it in the public square. Keep it to yourself like a private eye. Nobody talk about it till it's homicide. They only seem to talk about is love.
killer. Nobody talk about the other side. I'm not a judge, only God is. I cannot pretend to know what Pac is.
You're listening to music from the group The Truth, the song Misconception. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today we're looking at the topic of heaven and hell and the Great Commission. And a part of our goal in sharing from the topic we're looking at today is that each of us as believers would recognize the serious work, the very serious work of being involved in carrying out the Great Commission. We're told to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. In other words, remember, in all of life, the most serious issue is knowing Jesus Christ. Because the fact is, no matter whether you live what we call a long life or a short life, all of us will spend eternity in one of two places. We'll either be in heaven or in hell. That means 10 million years from now, that's where you will be after you leave this world. So the most important issue is, do you know Jesus Christ? That's more important than your income, your job, your career, your goals, your dreams. Do you know Jesus Christ? And as believers, if we're saved, then we're to be involved in the work of helping as many people come to know Christ and grow up in their faith as we can. That's serious business, folks. So we're looking today, specifically I was sharing from the book entitled A Divine Revelation of Hell. And of course, hell is one of those two destinations. There's nothing in between. There's no purgatory. There's nothing else. It's either heaven or hell. So we as the church have got to be serious about the work of doing our part to share the gospel wherever we go and helping people to grow up in their faith once they get saved. So I'm picking up, continuing in chapter 1 on the end of, near the bottom of page 18. And this is where, again, Mary Kay Baxter has been taken on a vision with the Lord Jesus Christ into hell. And so we pick up with her experience as she's traveling through hell with Jesus. The worst odor I've ever smelled filled the air. It was the smell of decaying flesh, and it seemed to me to be coming from every direction. Never on earth had I felt such evil or heard such cries of despair. Soon I would find that these were the cries of the dead and that hell was filled with their wails. I felt a gust of evil wind and a small suction force ahead of us. Lights like lightning or strobe lights penetrated the black darkness and threw gray shadows on the walls. I could barely make out the form of something in front of me. I recoiled in shock when I realized that it was a large snake moving along ahead of us. As I continued to look, I saw those ugly snakes were slithering about everywhere. Jesus said to me, "We will soon enter the left leg of hell. Ahead you will see great sorrow, pathetic sadness, and indescribable horror. Stay close to me, and I will give you strength and protection as we go through hell. The things you're about to see are a warning," he said. "The book you write will save many souls from hell. What you are seeing is real. Fear not, for I will be with you." At long last, the Lord Jesus and I were at the bottom of the tunnel. We stepped out into hell. I will try to the very best of my ability to tell you what I saw, and I will tell it in the order God gave it to me. Ahead of us, as far as I could see, were flying objects darting here and there. Groaning sounds and pitiful cries filled the air. Up ahead, I saw a dim light, and we began walking toward it. The path was a dry, powdery dirt. We were soon at the entrance to a small, dark tunnel. Some things I cannot put on paper. They were too awful to describe. The fear in hell could be tasted, and I knew if I had not been with Jesus, I would not make it back. In the writing of this, some of the things I saw, I do not understand. But the Lord knows all things, and he helped me understand most of what I saw. Let me warn you, don't go to that place. It is a horrid place of torments, excruciating pain, and eternal sorrow. Your soul will always be alive. The soul lives forever. It is the real you, and your soul will go either to heaven or hell. To those of you who think that hell is here on earth, well, you're right, it is. Hell is in the center of the earth, and there are souls in torment there night and day. There are no parties in hell. No love, no compassion, no rest, only a place of sorrow beyond your belief. Chapter 2, The Left Leg of Hell. A horrible odor filled the air. Jesus said to me, "In the left leg of hell are many pits. This tunnel branches off into other parts of hell, but we will spend some time in the left leg first. These things you're about to see will always be with you. The world must know about the reality of hell. Many sinners and even some of my people do not believe that hell is real. You have been chosen by me to reveal these truths to them. Everything I will show you about hell and all the other things I will show you are true. Jesus had shown himself to me in the form of a bright light, brighter than the sun. The form of a man was in the center of that light. Sometimes I saw Jesus as a man, but at other times he was in the form of a spirit. He spoke again, "Child, when I speak, the Father has spoken. The Father and I are one. Remember to love above all else and to forgive one another. Come now, follow me." I'm going to read that paragraph again. Listen to closely what's said. He spoke again, "Child, when I speak, the Father has spoken. The Father and I are one. Remember to love above all else and to forgive one another. Come now, follow me." As we walked, evil spirits fled from the presence of the Lord. "O God, O God," I cried, "what is next?" As I said previously, I had all my senses in hell. All those in hell have all their senses. Mine were working now in full force. Fear was on every side, and inexpressible dangers lurked everywhere. Each step I took was more horrible than the one before. There were doorways about the size of small windows, opening and shutting very fast at the top of the tunnel. Screams filled the air as many evil creatures flew by us, up and out of the gateways of hell. Soon we were at the end of the tunnel. I was trembling with fright because of the danger and fear around us. I was so thankful for the protection of Jesus. I thank God for his almighty power to protect us even in the pits of hell. Even with that protecting shield, I kept thinking, "Not my will, Father, but yours be done." I looked at my body. For the first time, I noticed that I was in a spirit form, and my form was in the shape of myself. I wondered what was next. Jesus and I stepped from the tunnel onto a path with wide swaths of land on each side of it. There were pits of fire everywhere as far as the eye could see. The pits were 4 feet across and 3 feet deep and shaped like a bowl. Jesus said, "There are many pits like this in the left leg of hell. Come and I will show you some of them." I stood beside Jesus on the path and looked into one of the pits. Brimstone was embedded in the side of the pit and glowed red like hot coals of fire. In the center of the pit was a lost soul who had died and gone to hell. Fire began at the bottom of the pit, swept upward and clothed the lost soul in flames. In a moment, the fire would die down to embers. Then with a rushing sound would sweep back over the tormented soul in the pit. I looked and saw that the lost soul in the pit was caged inside a skeleton form. "My Lord," I cried at their sight, "can't you let them out?" How awful was the sight. I thought, this could be me. I said, "Lord, how sad it is to see and know that a living soul is in there." I heard a cry from the center of the first pit. I saw a soul in the form of a skeleton crying, "Jesus, have mercy." "Oh, Lord," I said, it was the voice of a woman. I looked at her and wanted to pull her out of the fire. The sight of her broke my heart. The skeleton form of a woman with a dirty gray mist inside was talking to Jesus. In shock, I listened to her. Decayed flesh hung by shreds from her bones, and as it burned, it fell off from the bottom of the pit. Where her eyes had once been were now only empty sockets. She had no hair. The fire started at her feet in small flames and grew as it climbed up and over her body. The woman seemed to be constantly burning, even when the flames were only embers. From deep down inside her came cries and groans of despair. "Lord, Lord, I want out of here." She kept reaching out to Jesus. I looked at Jesus and there was great sorrow on his face. Jesus said to me, "My child, you are here with me to let the world know that sin results in death and that hell is real." I looked at the woman again and worms were crawling out of the bones of her skeleton. They were not harmed by the fire. Jesus said, "She knows and feels those worms inside." "God have mercy," I cried as the fire reached its peak and the horrible burning started all over again. Great cries and deep sobs shook the form of this woman's soul. She was lost. There was no way out. Jesus, why is she here? I said in a small voice, for I was very scared. Jesus said, come. The path we were on was a circuitous one, twisting in and out between these pits of fire as far as I could see. The cries of the living dead mixed with moans and hideous screams came to my ears from all directions. There were no quiet times in hell. The smell of dead and decaying flesh hung thickly in the air. We came to the next pit. Inside this pit, which was the same size as the other, was another skeleton form. A man's voice cried from the pit, saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Only when they spoke could I tell whether the soul was a man or woman. Great wailing sobs came from this man. I'm so sorry, Jesus. Forgive me. Take me out of here. I've been in this place of torment for years. I beg you, let me out. Great sobs shook his skeletal frame as he begged, please, Jesus, let me out. I looked at Jesus and saw that he, too, was crying. Lord Jesus, the man cried out from the burning pit, haven't I suffered enough for my sins? It has been 40 years since my death. Jesus said, it is written, the just shall live by faith. All mockers and unbelievers shall have their part in the lake of fire. You would not believe the truth. Many times my people were sent to you to show you the way, but you would not listen to them. You laughed at them and refused the gospel. Even though I died on a cross for you, you mocked me and would not repent of your sins. My Father gave you many opportunities to be saved. If only you had listened. Jesus wept. I know, Lord, I know, the man cried, but I repent now. It is too late, said Jesus. Judgment is set. The man continued, Lord, some of my people are coming here, for they also will not repent. Please, Lord, let me go tell them that they must repent of their sins while they're still on earth. I don't want them to come here. Jesus said, they have preachers, teachers, elders, all ministering the gospel. They will tell them. They also have the advantages of the modern communication systems in many other ways to learn of me. I sent workers to them that they might believe and be saved. If they will not believe when they hear the gospel, neither will they be persuaded though one rises from the dead. At this, the man became very angry and began to curse. Evil, blasphemous words came from him. I looked on in horror as the flames rose up and his dead, decaying flesh began to burn and fall off. Inside this dead shell of a man, I saw his soul. It looked like a dirty gray mist, and it filled the inside of his skeleton. I turned to Jesus and cried, Lord, how horrible! Jesus said, hell is real. The judgment is real. I love them so, my child. This is only the beginning of the frightful things I have to show you. There's much more to come. Tell the world for me that hell is real, that men and women must repent of their sins. Come follow me. Come follow me. We must go on. In the next pit was a very small framed woman who looked to be about 80 years old. I can't say how I knew her age, but I did. The skin was removed from her bones by the continual flame. Only the bones remain with a dirty mist soul inside. I watched as the fire burned her. Soon there were only the bones and the worms crawling inside, which the fire could not burn. Lord, how terrible, I cried. I don't know if I can go on, for this is awful beyond belief. As far as my eyes could see, souls were burning in pits of fire. My child, this is why you are here, Jesus answered. You must know and tell the truth about hell. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Come, we must go on. You're listening to portions from a book entitled A Divine Revelation of Hell by Mary Kay Baxter. And again, we're sharing from this again, hoping that you recognize that as the Word of God teaches us, hell is real as well as heaven is real as well. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you give each of us as believers to share, to hear the gospel and to share the gospel. Lord, stir every listener to become much more involved in faithfully sharing the gospel as often as we have opportunity in helping others grow up in their faith. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
The Awakening on Urban Family Talk.
You know, a bunch of people who thought Obama was the Messiah.
There are a lot of people who are kind of treating Trump like that.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Folks, I'm not looking for a Messiah. I've already got one. His name is Jesus, the Son of the Living God. We put our ultimate trust in him. All other human beings are fallible.
The Awakening, weekday mornings at 9 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Our country is suffering because of lack of leadership, division, and a disdain for godliness. Urban Family Talk exists to be a prophetic voice as we speak on matters of religion, family, and culture. We will not be silent on issues plaguing our communities today as we sound the alarm of truth, wisdom, and empowerment. Join the movement at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
The Awakening on Urban Family Talk.
You know, there are a bunch of people who thought Obama was the Messiah. There are a lot of people who are kind of treating Trump like that.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Folks, I'm not looking for a Messiah. I've already got one. His name is Jesus, the Son of the Living God. We put our ultimate trust in him. All other human beings are fallible.
The Awakening, weekday mornings at 9 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Is God sovereign? Does he call the shots? Or do people have free will? Dr. Tony Evans says yes to all of the above. He'll explain how that works as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
In football game, the goal line is non-negotiable. You can't move that. You can't play with that. That is unmovable. It's a sovereign line. The sidelines are sovereign lines. The goal post. A sovereign, they don't budge. You don't mess with those because those are non-negotiables. But the activity on the field is negotiable. The plays that were called, the things that cause us to jump and scream and things that happened at the last second and all those were negotiable because those were plays called or defended on the field of play. Those plays that made the life of the game so rich, never infringed on sovereignty. Because the lines never moved. They were sovereign and undisturbed. But there was responsibility being executed on the field that did determine how things wound up. So when God says he's waiting on you, he is literally saying, while you do not affect what he ultimately determines to do, you do affect timing. It's a 35-day walk from Egypt to the promised land that took 40 years. It should have taken 35 days. It is now taking you 40 years because you left me out.
Learn how to live inside the boundaries of God's plan by understanding the big picture of your faith. Check out Tony's CD series, The Eternal Perspective, available online at tonyevans.org. And then be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Streets of gold. Can you?
CC Wine is the song simply entitled Heaven. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today we're looking at the topic of heaven and hell and the Great Commission. And I was in the first two sections, we're sharing from a book entitled A Divine Revelation of Hell by Mary K. Baxter. If you get a chance to get the book, a very powerful and very eye-opening book. It's a reminder of the importance of us as believers, as the Word of God tells us, to be sober-minded. Because the fact is, in all of life, remember, we're to be living for the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what your occupation, what kind of work you do, where you live, what your income is, what your family size may be, we're to be living for God. We're here for God, here for the purposes of God, because we're here to help spread the gospel, help people become disciples of Jesus Christ, and go to heaven. Because remember, everybody is going to one or the other of those two places. And sadly, every day, on average, all over the world, about a quarter of a million people die. And people are pouring out of this world, and they pour either into heaven or into hell. Sadly, many of those people pour into hell. So we need to be serious about that. But remember, every person that accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life have an eternity in heaven to look forward to. I'm going to share briefly in this last portion from another book by Mary K. Baxter entitled A Divine Revelation of Heaven. And I want you to listen because, again, she has some powerful insights to share. And remember, Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word makes it clear that there's a heaven to be obtained and a hell to shun. And it's a serious topic, and all of us should be vitally and faithfully involved in the spread of the gospel and the work of ministry every day, because our goal should be to help us take as many people with us to heaven as we can and help pull as many people off the road to hell as we can as well. Sharing now from the book A Divine Revelation of Heaven, chapter 1. And again, this too, again, a revelation God gave Mary K. Baxter of heaven. Inside the gates, God, in his infinite mercy and grace, permitted me to go to that beautiful place called heaven. The logistics of my trip to his home and back to earth are unclear to me, but I cannot be mistaken about the reality of it. How are the incomparable wonders of heaven revealed to a mere mortal like me? Let me start at the beginning. One night the Lord appeared to me and told me I was chosen for a special assignment. He told me, "My child, I will manifest myself to you to bring people out of darkness into light. I have chosen you for a purpose. You are to write and make a record of the things that I will show and tell you." I submitted myself to God completely, and astounding things began to happen. I was taken from where I was at the time and transported into hell itself. I was aware of all five of my senses. I could see, feel, hear, smell, and taste. Yet this was a supernatural happening. I realized that the impact it made on me was for a purpose. For days after I was taken by the Lord into hell, I was very grieved in my heart. My heart was sad and burdened because of the horrors I saw. I had viewed the judgment of God on sin and on the people who had gone to hell. I prayed earnestly to God and sought his comfort. On the 31st night after these events began, the power of Almighty God fell on me again. At 2 o'clock in the morning, a mighty angel stood beside my bed. Jesus Christ was standing beside the angel. As I looked on the face of the Lord standing there, he smiled at me, but he did not say anything. The mighty messenger of God said, "God has given me a special mission. He's given me a special mission. I'm here. I'm sent here to take you to heaven and show you parts of it." After a moment, he spoke again, Come and see the glory of God." At once, I was supernaturally transported from my home and found myself standing outside one of the gates of heaven, with the whole with the heavenly angel. The overwhelming beauty of what I saw around me was breathtaking. The clothing the heavenly being wore looked like a brilliant garment of light. The angel had triangular-shaped wings that glistened with the colors of the rainbow. Although I wasn't surprised, I was amazed at the indescribable beauty of God that was evident all around. The next thing I knew, the angel repeated an exclamation that I would hear many times, "Behold the glory of God." The magnificent gate that stood before me in splendor was made of a solid pearl. In awe, I took in everything I could of this most beautiful sight. At this point, I could not see the Lord anywhere, but I was totally enraptured by the glory of heaven. Entering heaven. When we arrived there, two very tall angels were standing outside the gate. Both of them wore glistening robes and had swords in their hands. Their hair was like spun gold, and their faces gleamed with light. The angel accompanying me moved over to speak to the two angels guarding the gate, and I was left standing alone. In amazement, I thought, "Oh, how glorious are the gates of heaven! How wonderful it is to see this one for myself." Suddenly, I realized that I was actually going to enter into heaven. As I watched the angels of the Lord, I could hear some of the conversation they were having. One of them went inside the gate and returned almost immediately with a small volume. The book had a gold cover, and the printing inside was also in gold. It seemed to be a book about my life's history. My name was stamped on the cover, Mary Catherine Baxter. A smile of approval came over the angels' faces. They opened the book. They looked at each other, then said in a voice I could hear, "She may come inside the gate." My guiding angel escorted me through the magnificent gate and into heaven. Suddenly, music filled the whole atmosphere. It was all around me. It was above me. It seemed to penetrate my very being. Wave after powerful wave of beautiful music and singing surged across the landscape and seemed to envelop everything and everyone. When I stepped inside the city, amazement again took my breath. The landscape of that incomparable city was beyond description. Surrounding me were the most beautiful, colorful flowers I had ever seen. There was unbelievable greenery and vegetation everywhere. Even the blooms of the flowers seemed to be alive to the music and the singing. Music continued to swirl about me. I seemed to be a part of it. It is one thing to try to describe the wonders of this city. It is quite another to know that you will share the joy of it. I saw some of the exuberant citizens of heaven, and they were all dressed in robes. This scripture came to me from Isaiah 61:10. "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and as a bride adorns herself with jewels." The happiness and joy that beamed from their faces was beyond compare. Heaven is a real place. It is not a figment of someone's imagination. In the Bible, it is recorded that Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Since we as children of God have been transformed and made new by the miracle of regeneration, and since we are now creations in Christ, new creations in Christ, it is a joy to know that the place where we will spend eternity is prepared by the Savior who saved us. Heaven is a perfect place. Since our Savior is perfect, omnipotent, and eternal, heaven has to be a perfect place. Because he is preparing us a place there to live with him for all eternity, our eternal home will be perfect too. Nothing will ever mar any part of that heavenly abode. There will never be anything allowed to enter heaven to defile it or spoil it. Revelation 21:27 states, "But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." As we draw our broadcast to a close today, I want to invite, if there's anybody listening who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, today is a good day to get saved. I want to invite you to pray this prayer as committing your heart to the Lord. If you're not saved or you're not sure and want to be saved, today is a good day to put your faith and trust in Christ, to come to receive Him as your Lord and Savior, and to be sure that heaven will be your eternal home. Pray this prayer with me if you would. Lord Jesus, I confess, Lord, I've sinned and I've done wrong in many ways. Lord, forgive me for all the wrong. I repent of them all. Lord Jesus, I do believe that you came into this world, that you lived, that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I do believe that 3 days later, you rose up from the dead for my salvation so I could spend eternity with you and miss hell. Lord Jesus, in a brand new way, I open my whole heart and my whole life to you. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord Jesus, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Make me the person you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And I now declare I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Allow me to share with you my email. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time and gave your life to Christ, please email us or let us know, because we'd like to talk to you and share with you some discipleship and encouragement material with you. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. Or you can call us at 1-662-844-5036, extension 381. We've been looking today at the topic of heaven and hell and the Great Commission. And remember, all of us, again, the most important decision in our life is the decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And once you're saved, you need to begin to start growing up in your faith and living so that you're involved in the work of the Great Commission, sharing the gospel with others and helping them, too, to grow up and grow strong in their faith. That's the work that every believer is called to be involved in. A question you need to ask yourself is, are you involved in the work God has called you to? Sadly, we learn from the Word of God, there will be many people that think they're saved that will find out on that day that they're not. Be sure you've given your life to Christ and that you're living for Him every day. Are you living to follow Jesus Christ? Are you living to carry out His work and His will in the world? That's the question to ask yourself, because if you're not, again, every listener, examine your own life. Don't assume, well, sure I am. Again, remember, there will be many who, again, thought they were saved. But are you living the life? Are you living the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ? That's the question to ask. Thank you, Lord, for every single person listening. Thank you for your hand of grace and your spirit at work in each and every one of their lives. Lord, for every believer listening, touch them. Help us to be open to allowing the Holy Spirit to examine us and help us to know if we're about our Father's business, helping to carry out the great work of the Great Commission. Help us to be hearers and doers of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the chance to be involved in the wonderful work of the spread of the gospel and discipleship. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our topic today was heaven and hell and the Great Commission. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.